comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is indeed talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We are here because you have a right to know. And we are here because you matter. Just remember, people who think you don't matter, don't matter. I just got back from traveling, and I mean just got back just before showtime from traveling all weekend. As you know, I went to visit with my sister and my mom, both not in the best of health, and had a great time visiting with them. Also worked in a visit to our class reunion, my high school class reunion. That's the first one I've been to, and it's the 40th. The 40th. Can you imagine that? 40 years since I was in high school. And yes, Virginia, we did have high school back then, and it was a great high school, the David W. Carter High School there in Dallas. But I've been traveling all weekend, had a chance to meet one of our very regular listeners and someone who's done some video work for us, Ben Jones. He came and had lunch with us on Sunday, and boy, I'll tell you what, it was good to get to meet him face to face. I've met him only on the internet before, but he came and had lunch with us, and so that was a good deal. Got a chance to, I told you about this class reunion, I got a chance to see some folks I haven't seen in 40 years. And all of us look just like we did when we were in high school. You believe that, don't you? Yeah. Of course, you know, if you believe that, then you have to believe when I was 17 years old, I was as bald-headed as I am now. We all look different, but you know what? They're still all great people. I had a great time, and some of my classmates are listening in tonight, so let me say hello to them. On my way back, one leg of the trip, I had to fly through Chicago, and I had a chance to meet someone in Chicago that I thought was really super. Or let me say this. I met this person during the various legs of my trip. Now, the reason I'm saying that is it's possible I could have met this person in Dallas. It's possible I could have met this person in Chicago. I can't remember where I was. I was so sleepy, you cannot imagine. Anyway, Ray Neely. Ray is a police officer, and he at the airport, and so I had a chance to talk with him for several minutes while I was having some coffee, and it really, really, really was a nice conversation. I enjoyed talking with him. I met a lot of very interesting people on this trip, including a millionaire that was really interested in UFOs and extraterrestrials. And, you know, there's just a lot of people now in a lot of positions, every strata of society coming out and saying, you know what, there's something going on here. All right, something is going on right here. It's called The Kevin Smith Show, and we will continue on the other side of this break with my guest tonight, Ed Grimsley. He'll join us right after this. And And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are airborne, and I'll tell you what, for a while, every time I flew, 100% of the time when I flew, the TSA, for whatever reason, took particular interest in me, and I got the full tilt boogie, and they said, well, it's just random, but it was like 100% of the time. That has gone away, and I'm getting to go through the line just like everybody else right now. However, 100% of the time I fly, at least one leg of the trip, the airplane gets delayed, and that happened to me today. We were supposed to take off at 10:30. And they held us on the ground until after 12 o'clock, in the airplane, until after 12 o'clock. So I don't know what's up with that kind of deal, but, that's the new trend. But that's better than the trend I had in the year 2000. In the year 2000, 100% of the time I flew, they lost my luggage. I went to Bucharest. My luggage went to Budapest. It was a frustrating year, but these things seem to come in cycles. My guest this evening is somebody you're all familiar with. Especially if you are someone who listens to this show on a regular basis, and you've been doing so for a number of years, because this guest has been with us many times before. He is a friend of mine. And he became my friend through this show. I did not know him, except through this show is how I got to know him, and then we became friends. His name is Ed Grimsley. Ed, welcome back to the show. We're delighted to have you.
Yeah, hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Things were going real good there when you called me, and now I can barely hear you.
As I told you, Ed... And as it is every time, how many times have you been on this show?
Some people probably say 20.
We've had that same conversation now maybe 20 times, I guess, huh?
There you go. Now you're loud and clear.
I didn't change a thing, Ed.
Well, maybe they heard my complaint.
Ed, you have gained a name for yourself as... being the night vision guy, the night vision man.
Yeah.
And people call you that because you are the one who brought to the attention of the public the fact that if you use night vision goggles and use good ones, you can walk out at nighttime, look up into the sky, way, way up there, way past where any planes would be, and you can see things that are definitely not satellites, things that fly in formation, things that stop, start, things that change direction suddenly. And you've even talked to us about how they sometimes you'll see a beam of light shoot from one to the other. And so you've gotten this name of being the night vision man. A lot of people trying to copy what you do now, but you're still the night vision man. You're the guy that brought it to us. You're the one that introduced it to the whole world. So I want to ask you, are you still doing, after all these years, are you still doing sky watches?
Yeah, I'm still doing them. Sometimes there's a lot, sometimes a few. People are mostly very happy and satisfied when they come. It depends on what kind of night they had.
Mm-hmm.
If we see 30 or 40 things, it's sometimes it can be. But most of the time we see, in a 2-3 hour night, we see 100, 150 different things. Some are satellites, some are birds, some are bats. I mean, you get to see everything, but you definitely get to see spacecraft and... you know, when there's somebody with a negative attitude that comes, they'll be saying, oh, I never see anything, or I wish I could see something, or What do you think that is? Is that a piece of space junk? Or, and everybody just goes into a gloom. And it seems like there's not as much activity. But when you got 10 or 15 people looking through the goggles at once, it's red hot. And you're going to see three times as much stuff. And
well, I remember the Skywatch that I attended, that your Skywatch that you held in Sedona several years ago. You had a conference there, and then you had a Skywatch. The sky was very, very active. And people, you know, I want to bring this up because we have had people call the show and say, well, if they're up there, why can't you see them even without? You ought to be able to see some of them even without the night vision goggles. And the answer to that is you can. You just have to know what to look for. The night vision goggles just make it easier to see them. That's all. But, yes, you can see them with a naked eye up there.
Yeah. They're, once you use the goggles and you've learned to look through them, you can also learn to look, and your eyes seem to focus better on these things. And a lot of times people share the goggles, and they'll be sitting there and handing the goggles off to somebody else, and they'll be looking up and turning their head and looking around and say, oh, there's another one over there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, at that Skywatch that night, everyone was using your goggles. You brought several pairs, and people were using them. And you and one or two other people, with the naked eye, you were picking things out that were of interest, things that were moving, and not satellites, and not birds, but way out there beyond the atmosphere and moving at a very fast clip, and doing some strange maneuvers. You were picking them out with a naked eye and then using a laser pointer to point towards them in the night sky, and people then could just use the night vision goggles, and of course that laser pointer looks like a spotlight in that night vision goggle. And they just follow it up, and they can, oh, and you could hear them say, oh yeah, yeah, oh man, look at that. And there were people saying, I heard one person say, oh my God, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. But it really is going on up there.
That was a good night.
Yeah, and you know what though, Ed? We were all in doubt as to whether we were going to get to have that or not, because it had clouded up and rained for 2 days.
And chemtrailed.
And chemtrailed. They chemtrailed us, that's true. But kind of right at the last minute, all the clouds broke, and we were able to see the skies, and it was a great sky watch.
I think I made a comment, there must be a God.
It was pretty amazing, because it happened right on time, as if right on cue. The clouds cleared off, and there we were. Now, Ed, you just got back from Amsterdam, right?
It's been a couple months back, but yeah, I went over and did the secret space conference and government conspiracy. You know, it was quite an interesting thing. We had about 500 or 600 people in the audience, and it was great.
Uh huh.
Richard Hoagland and Richard Dolan, I mean, those guys put on a great talk, and everything they were saying was right on. And when I told about the space things that I knew and seen, and showed them some videos of 7 or 8 craft flying in formation, great big round domes, up about 200 miles, and somebody says, are those bugs? And a bug flew across real close. And I said, no, but that one is.
You know, this is another thing that people who have not been out there with these night vision devices come up with all of the, not all people do this, but some people come up with all these things. Well, it might be bugs, it might be birds, you know. But folks, listen, do you know what? When you see a bug with your naked eye, does it look like a bug? Yes, it does. Guess what it looks like in night vision? A bug. When you see a bird with the naked eye, what does it look like? A bird. Guess what it looks like in night vision? I know it'll be a shock to you. A bird. They don't change their appearance. All the night vision does is enhance the light that's out there so that you can see things more clearly at nighttime. They still look like what they are.
They're debunkers, and therefore they're birds.
Well, a bird looks like a bird in night vision. A bat looks like a bat. An airplane looks like an airplane. And a bug looks like a bug. And then there are these other things. And these other things are very, very high. They're way out there. And look, how do we know they're way out there? Well, because you can see them in relationship to other things that are out there. For instance, you can see them in relationship sometimes to the International Space Station.
Uh-huh.
And it's out there as far as the International Space Station is and further sometimes. So, you know, it's pretty clear to me, you know, when you see a cow, why would you let someone convince you it's a Cadillac? When you see a spacecraft, why would you let somebody convince you it's a bug? This is nonsense. When you look through the goggles, you will see things look like what they are. You just get to see them a little clearer at nighttime. Okay, now you did a presentation. You spoke to the people in Amsterdam. You showed them some of your video clips taken through night vision. And then you got a standing ovation, right?
Yeah, I was going to end my talk there, and I ended up talking a few minutes more, and people were in the audience saying, "Thank you, Ed Grimsley," and hollering out people that I had never met or saw. And on the panel, when all the panel came about, they asked me a lot of questions and got quite a bit of action there. And there was a couple of the speakers hardly got any action. And it seemed like they were making me look like a busybody.
Well, for people who have never seen it, it is an amazing sight. No kidding, it is. Now, I don't know whether the picture that I show on my website is from your night vision, night watches, sky watches, but I do know that you have filmed. If this is not from yours, I just got it off of the internet, but if it's not from your Skywatch, you have filmed this V-shaped or A, shaped like the letter A, formation flying across the heavens before. And
yeah, a number of times.
Yeah, and it's either a gigantic, really gigantic object, or that's a bunch of objects in formation. Have you been able to determine whether it's a gigantic object?
Well, at sometimes it's one big flying machine, and at other times there's three or five in formation about 200 miles up and being hit in the sunlight and no airplane 2 hours after dark can get in the sunlight. They fly too low.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be in space to get in the sunlight, and the time of night and the brightness has a lot to do with how I estimate how far out they are, because as the Earth rolls away from the sun, it keeps going further and further, and we can see sunlight up there for a while on each side or even straight above us. And then after a while, we've rolled away to where straight away from us is a shadow. And
yeah.
We're, the darkness is quite a ways out there, and usually the things that we see flying are in 100 mile to 300 miles, and sometimes we can see them a mile up, but you don't always see that. But I've seen it a number of times. It is just blows your mind when you see one and it's so close that you can see the ribbing on the craft, similar to an umbrella having support ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're turning, you can see the domes. So it's
now, but that's the ones that are pretty close, right?
Oh yeah, that has to be pretty close. But I've seen it up about 150, 200 miles before, when I had some six power on the end of the binoculars and a 40 power hard drive camera hooked behind, so I was able to zoom in pretty good.
Now you're holding sky watches. You're doing sky watches up in Northern California now, right?
Right, and also sometimes in San Diego area.
Okay, on the other end of the state.
Right.
Actually, both of those. That's kind of the extreme north and the extreme south, isn't it?
Well, there's quite a ways north of me that you can still go to, but I'm north of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
65 miles, as they say, the way the flying saucer flies. I'm got a group going, and they're working with me in San Diego, and we've put on a couple of good sky watches for the MUFON people and other groups, and a lot of the astrologists, the guys with the telescopes. And
yeah, astronomers. Mm-hmm.
They've been out and brought their scopes and look, and when they say, well, we don't think there's anything out there, we don't see it with our telescopes, and we smile at them, and then we hand them a pair of goggles, and they are these astronomers that just, they're hobby people, some are professional.
Ed, we have to step away for break. We'll pick up there, though, when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, more with Ed Grimsley right after this.
You're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Ed Grimsley. And, Ed, we were talking about when the break took over, we were talking about when astronomers come out and they say, well, we just don't see these things. And then you hand them some of these night vision goggles, and you were about to tell us what happens then.
Well, they all of a sudden become believers. And some of them will say, well, just what is all that stuff? And I tell them, that's some of the stuff you're not seeing. And some of it's satellites, some of it's spacecraft. And you can't see it with your telescopes.
Yeah, but you know, you can tell the difference between a satellite and one of these spacecraft.
Nope.
A satellite follows an orbit. It just tracks right straight across the sky at a steady pace. But the things that I'm referring to as spacecraft, and I think you refer to them as spacecraft, these things zoom right up there and stop. They'll gather up in a formation and fly across the sky and change directions, sometimes turn around and go back the direction they came from. Satellites don't do that.
None of the satellites I've ever been able to hear about. And there were some people that work for NASA came up to my show, and they kept making all these weird comments. And I said, now, sooner or later tonight, I said, you're going to see some stop, start out, change directions. Now, do you have any satellites that can do that? And they go, well, not that we know of. And I says, well, when that happens, we'll see. And it wasn't 10 minutes later. Two were coming in one direction. One stopped. The other kept going. And the one that stopped turned around and went back where he came from in that direction and was going back twice as fast as he came. And I said, geez, somebody must have needed support or an extra craft.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This one NASA guy says to me, he says, you know, he says, until I saw that, I didn't know about this. And he says, maybe I wasn't high enough up. But he says, what we just saw, he says, I'm a space engineer. He says, I engineer things. I do things. And he says, what we just saw, I can't explain. And I says, could you think it was a UFO then? And he laughed and said, it had to be.
Yeah. Well, and of course, UFO means unidentified flying object. Don't know what it is. It's unidentified. It's not us. It's a UFO. MUFON has been reporting that there has been a dramatic uptick in the number of UFO sightings here in the United States over the past several months. Have you seen a dramatic increase in the number of craft that you see when you do these sky watches?
Well, you know, one of the things that proves it to be other than satellites is that if you go out on Monday night and then you go out on Tuesday night and you go out on Thursday and whatever, you see, one night you see 200 objects. And then maybe the next night you only see 45. If there were satellites, they'd be in orbit and coming around, and they'd be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right on. And they're not. And when you see three stars, it looks like they don't belong there, and the light's a little bit different. And I've pointed them out and told everybody I didn't think they were, that they were spacecraft hiding like a star, and to keep an eye on those and mark these other big stars because I didn't think they belonged there. And people were looking at them. And about a half hour later, I told them, I says, I'm going to see if this big laser gives them any excitement at all. And I have one big laser. And I hit every one of those three with the laser. And next thing you know is they all started to move and took off. And everybody was laughing and said, you scared the hell out of them, Ed.
You know, one of these days, you're going to hit one of those with a laser, and he's going to think you've got him targeted, and he's going to respond, and Ed Grimsley's going up in a puff of smoke.
Well, I thought one night it was going to happen because there was a great big craft coming over and it was coming in pretty fast and it was about 200 miles up and was fairly bright. But I lined him up and hit him with the laser and I gave him two flashes. He hesitated, slowed up, and stood there like a star and flashed me twice. I flashed him four times. He flashed me four times. And these people are with me are going, oh, my God, oh, my God. And one says, is he going to fire on us? And I says, I hope not. But, you know, let's just smile at him and he'll know we're friendly. And I was kind of joking like. And the next thing I know is a circle around us about 40, 50 foot wide across with room on each side of us started to get brighter and brighter, and it was shining on us from up there at that craft. And it lit up us, and everything was dark around us. And it was like as if we were standing on a street light looking at each other going, oh, my God. And this one woman says, do you mind if I stand over there? But it did that to us for 10, 15 seconds, and then it started to move again. And I gave it a flash, and it gave me a flash back. And off across the heavens it went.
All right. Now, Ed, you told us you called into the show last week. I believe it was on Friday night, Thursday or Friday. You called in, and you told us during that call about a couple of people that you had at a Skywatch. They saw something that frightened them, and they just wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, if you heard rumors or that there's a thing out there called Mothman or that there's a Dracula or whatever, and a couple of years ago, I saw the Mothman. My dog and I were out looking. We just came in. We closed up the gate at my place and were walking back up the driveway to the house. And I was about 50 feet from the house, and my dog started to growl. And it turns out when I turned back to look with my naked eye, there was nobody behind me by the gator. And as I saw his head looking up, I put the glasses up and I looked. And there was this thing coming across the sky about the speed of a bicyclist, probably 400 or 500 feet up, and probably 200 yards away. And oh my God, it looked like a human with its arms out in front of it, or a Superman. And it had a cape on, and the cape was fluttering along the top half of his body and legs, and you could see some limbs back there, and you could see the cape fluttering and exposing part of it. And my dog barked, and when he barked, and I'm looking at it, and that thing turned its head in our direction and leaned its arms towards us and started coming down at us. And I said, come on, Duke. And I started to run for the house, and we slammed the door behind us. I turned on all the lights and had the 12 gauge ready and the 357 Magnum, and that thing came near my house or to the front, and the dog would go one way and stand in the house and growl, and then he'd move over towards the windows on the other side and growl. And I just sat there and said, come on in. If you do, I'm going to blow your head off, because you can't bite me with no head. And after about 2 hours of this cat and mouse thing, then it settled down. I took the night vision goggles and the guns, and I scanned around the house and looked around, and I figured he had had enough scary for one night and had flown off. Well, I had never seen any of that again, and I didn't know what I saw that night. And I talked to George and Tommy at a conference and told them. They go, oh, my God, that was Mothman. We hear about it all the time. So we discussed it and all that. And I says, well, you know, seeing him was once is enough. So once in a while, I tell people out of Skywatch, if you should ever see this coming around, you might want to jump in your car. Because I don't know if he wants to be friendly or if he wants to be fed. And this couple had not, they heard about Mothman, but didn't think it was a real. We were watching, and we were probably an hour into the Skywatch and seen some craft. We seen one bubble that looks the size of a parachute, a hot air balloon. And it's crystal clear, and you can see it with goggles, but you can't see it with just the naked eye. And it looks like a bubble has been blown, a soap bubble by a toy, but it's huge. And
so when you say huge, how big?
Across.
How big would you say it is?
The bubble?
Yeah.
Oh, probably 80 feet around.
Okay.
If you see hot air balloons that give people rides, and you see them in pictures in Albuquerque and places.
Sure.
It's about that size.
Okay.
But it can move extremely fast. And extremely fast, it's like you can almost not see it going or coming, but you'll see it move from above a house in a subdivision out and whoosh, instantly it's above a house two blocks away, and then whoops, back over another house. And it's only about 100 feet above the houses or so.
Okay.
But you take the glasses down and you can't see it. Stick them back up and you can see it. Well, I've got this pointed out to a lot of people, and a lot of people have been seeing them, and people in other areas that have bought glasses from other people or me call me in and notify me they've seen them. But the Mothman, nobody has ever called me back in and said they've seen one like that.
All right, we have a break coming up, and when we get back from this break, Ed is going to tell us what these two people saw. I bet it has something to do with this Mothman figure. And by the way, if this is your first time to listen to this show, this is not the first guest who has told us about actually seeing Mothman. We'll be back more with Ed Grimsley right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking this evening with Ed Grimsley. And Ed, you were explaining to us what these two people saw at a Skywatch that made them decide they had seen enough.
Yeah. So I hadn't told them earlier about it. I hadn't, that I'd seen it before. They may have heard it somewhere. But I look out and I see this, and here it's flying across out maybe 200 yards, 1,000 feet out or something, and about 150 feet, 200 feet up. And I saw it, and I go, oh, there's the Mothman, look. And I hit the laser, and they both turned and looked at it, and they saw it. And as I had hit it with the laser, it turned my direction, and they saw it move its arms or whatever it wants to do, the Superman move, and start coming our direction. And the woman started screaming, oh my God, oh my God, save us. And she ran and jumped in the car. And the man ran towards the car, and she jumped in with the goggles, and then he jumped in, and I was standing my ground out there, thinking this is not a day to die, but I want this thing to go all the way. And as it got closer, I put the powerful laser on it and was shining it right in his face, and it just stopped and just like held its position. It was kind of like turning away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was turning away, and then I let the laser off and it turned back towards me. I lit the laser back on it and just held it right in its face, and it turned and went away and kept going. And I went over to the car and I says, I don't think he likes laser light. And this woman says, I don't care. She said, that has to be evil. And I says, well, I don't know what it is, but you know, don't panic because we can run it off. She says, no, I don't want to see anything more. I've seen some spacecraft. I've seen that damn thing, and it's evil, and I'm going to leave. I want to go home. And her husband says, do you really want to go? And she says, you know, when I say I want to leave. And he goes, yeah, okay. So he handed me back the pair of glasses, got her pair, and I says, I'm sorry, you know, I says, I would have, if it went for you, I'd have jumped in and wrestled it, you know. And she says, well, what if it was stronger than you? And I says, I was just kidding. I wasn't going to jump in and wrestle. I'd have pushed your husband in the way. and she says, well, if you didn't, I would have. Bring me out here to see this. She says, now, she says, there's UFOs and there's that damn thing. And she says, I don't want to see anything more. She says, I'm just happy with not knowing. And her husband laughed, and he says, she's been that way all her life. And I says, not knowing.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people are that way. I mean, you know that. Well, you and I have talked about that. We talked about it in Sedona. A lot of people really are just glad they don't know anything about what's really happening around us. And it's frightening to them to discover that the little bubble they live in is all fiction. It scares them.
And the world's all over the place, and space is full of life and creatures and beings, and basically we're being lied to about almost everything, including why we should pay our taxes.
Well, yeah, we're being lied to about virtually everything, and I think you know, the whole understanding of who we are, what the cosmos is all about, what's going on in the cosmos, and even what we know, we get told about what we know about the cosmos. I think all of that's fiction. It's all fiction. They know more than they tell us. They know a lot more than they tell us. And now, because of folks like you, everyday, ordinary people are discovering what's really going on out there in the cosmos. And, you know, it's pretty frightening to some folks to discover that the Earth is not flat.
A lot of people say they really don't want to see what's out there. They just want to live their life and be happy. And I tell them that if you don't stand up for yourself, who's going to? And we need to have the truth. And how can you vote if you don't know what you're voting on, if it's a lie?
Mm-hmm.
And, Kevin, I know 5 years ago when I let the world know about this stuff in the goggles and showed people at conferences these things, they thought in a distance, even though they believed in UFOs, they were on the other side of the room saying, oh, this guy's really crazy. And then you get them out there and they see it, and then they tell each other, and next thing you know, is the second night there's two or three times as many people show up.
Yeah, but Ed, you really are crazy.
Well, I know it. You see, the thing is, I'm crazy enough to think if I do this, I might be in some way helping the world and helping the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not smart enough to realize that the human race prefers to be stupid. They don't want to know a lot of it.
You know, that's true of a lot of people. But, you know, Ed, what year was it when I went to your conference there in Sedona? What was that, 2009?
I think it was, yes.
Okay. But just since then, at least my perception of what's happening in the world works like this. Yes, there are a lot of people that prefer to be ignorant. There are some people that prefer to be stupid. The difference is a stupid person, you can show them the evidence and they decide they didn't see the evidence even though they did see the evidence. Okay, that's stupid. But some people, you know, they prefer to be stupid, and it's a family tradition. They love it. They're going to uphold the family tradition. Some people prefer to be ignorant. They just don't want to know what's going on. However, since that conference, I've noticed that there is a decided uptick in the number of people who do want to know what's really going on here. There are more people now who want to know the truth. And I don't know if you are finding that, but that's what I'm seeing here at the show. There are more people who want to know what's going on.
Well, they call me all the time, and I answer the phone and says, hello. And they'll go, can we talk to Ed Grimsley? And I go, this is Ed Grimsley. You're talking to him. Oh, my God, you're kidding? You're real? You're actually answering the phone? And they go, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe that. And I says, well, why? I'm not a politician. I'm Ed Grimsley.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm here to try and tell you the truth and give you understanding. And if you got some questions, I'll answer them. And if I get tired enough, I fall asleep, the phone will go silent, and you'll hear my snoring. And I've had people 3 a.m. call me from Switzerland or from Sweden, and one man is listening to your show, and he listened to me a couple of times, and he's out walking his dog by a school, and it was pretty dark, and he went out and took the dog for a walk anyway.
Ed, we have to get the rest of that story on the other side of this break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. More with Ed Grimsley and what's going on up there right after this. To the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Ed Grimsley, and we're talking about all of this stuff that's going on out there in space, just out beyond Earth, that can be seen with night vision goggles. He is known as the Night Vision Man, and that's something that someone called him. He didn't make that up for himself. That's something somebody called him. He's the Night Vision Guy. And he has brought to the attention of the world the fact that you can use night vision goggles to go out and look at the skies at night and see UFOs out there, out in space. Sometimes they're not out in space, they're right up close, but almost every night you can go out and see them out in space flying around the Earth. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I am absolutely delighted you are with us. I am sincerely sorry for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour and several universes of information, but we're glad you're here now. Ed, as we went away for break, you were telling us about people call you from all over the world, and they're surprised when you answer the phone, even at 3 o'clock in the morning for you.
Yeah.
That telephone connection is terrible.
I tried to park it right next to my head charger, and if somebody calls and wants to buy a pair of goggles, I'll get name and information. A lot of times people just call me up and say, listen, I just saw you on the YouTube, or I saw your website, and I just discovered it, and so I called it, and here you are, and I just can't believe that. And I go, well, it's all a dream. and it was my dream, and you woke me up. But I would thank you, and would you do me a favor? Call me tomorrow again. And then they told me what time it was in their country, and I says, never mind, I'm awake anyway, let's talk. And so they tell me a story about a UFO experience they had, or about that they had an uncle that was a space pilot in a secret program, and that they can't talk about it much, but they're coming to California in 3 months on their vacation. Can they come to a Skywatch and talk to me?
Uh-huh.
And I go for it. And it's that kind of thing that happens. But this one night in particular, this man is out walking his dog, and I think it was in Sweden, and it's near a big playground and a school, and he sees these two UFOs coming over, and they're down pretty close, and they stop, they turn, and they maneuver towards him and his dog, and he runs underneath of a tree, and the dog with him. And so they move over further where they can view him out from the tree at an angle. And they blink their lights and kind of flash at him and stuff. And then they pick up and they leave. And about 15 minutes later, he's at home and he's calling me, and he's like shaking over the phone. And he just explains it to me, tells me about it and all that. And I says, well, only thing I can say is keep you and your dog near a tree. And he laughed because he was out walking his dog. And I told him, I says, maybe it wouldn't have done you any harm. Maybe it would have abducted you. Maybe it wouldn't have. It's just showing you that they exist. And I says, I wouldn't even know if it was something that was in the government's arsenal or something that's in an alien's arsenal. But whatever it was, if you saw it, your dog growled and barked and all that, it was real.
Mm-hmm.
And just try to be respectful to it, and maybe it'll do the same for you. Well, it was probably 2 weeks later. He called back, and he said that it wasn't two this time, there was one, and that he was out walking the dog again, and it came over, got close, and then moved a little further away, and was blinking at it and flashing him and stuff. And he says, I think it knew I was afraid of it, and it backed up a ways. And I said, did you have any missing time? He says, I didn't have a watch, and I don't know how long it was. So anyway, I told him, well, it must have liked you, it left you, or it didn't like you, and it didn't want to take you. He says, probably the last one.
Yeah. Ed, I want to invite the audience to participate in our discussion here, ladies and gentlemen. The way to do that, and it's easy to do it, the way you do that is you call us, okay? The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That number it'll work anywhere in the world. But most especially, if you are in the United States or Canada, please use that number. 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call that number. It'll work, but we are aware of the fact that it is expensive to make international long-distance calls sometimes. And so for you, we have another option, and that is you can use our flash message option on the website. Go to my website, KevinSmithShow.com. Scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. You'll see Ed Grimsley's picture, right? Right above that picture about tonight's show is a link that says flash message. And you can send me a flash message with your question or comment for Ed. I'll read it on the air, and then he'll respond to that, okay? But if you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone 623-444-5889. And you can speak to the real Ed Grimsley, all right? Ed, how long have you been doing this night vision sky watching thing? I don't mean holding sky watches, but you personally, how long have you been doing this, watching the skies with night vision?
It's probably close to 20, 25 years that I got a good pair that I could really see, and they worked the first time I tried them, and I thought they would. But I, all my life, I've been able to see UFOs since I was 10, 12 years old, and then at 16, see them battling over our campsite, and 45 kills one night, and woke everybody up, and I stayed up from 8 o'clock at night till 5:30, 6 in the morning when I got too light to see. And my dad and people in the campgrounds, I woke them all up and yelling there was a battle going on in the sky above us and that UFOs were fighting. And my dad says, go back to sleep, you're dreaming.
You know, this came up, it was Friday night, it's when Chuck Poloca was my guest. Was that a Boy Scout outing, or was it just a bunch of guys out hunting, or was it related in any way to the Boy Scouts?
Me?
Whenever you saw those flying saucers that night?
It was in 1961. It was on Thursday night.
And was it Boy Scouts?
Thursday night before the northern deer season.
Okay, so what you're telling us is no, it was not scouts. Is that right?
Right.
Oh, okay. The way you do that is you say no, it was not scouts. That works.
Oh, that'll work.
That will work. Okay, so it was not scouts. It was a hunting trip, but you did have a bunch of people out there with you. Other people saw what you were pointing out?
Oh, yeah. We had, there was four people with me. You know, my mom, my dad, another guy named Jess, mm-hmm. who doesn't want to be named. And a campsite that was near us was a friend of ours. His name was Jack Wilson, and knew him all the time. They used to hunt in the same area all the time. Mm-hmm. And they were yelled at and hollered to, and they all went on down and looked in the open area and could see them, and they were yelling, those things are real. And I said, yeah, you know, what's going on here? So that night there was probably 12 to 15 people, and it was such a clear night, and in the Sierras, the stars looked like you could reach out and touch them. Mm-hmm. And you could see the craft literally firing on each other, flying against each other, circling, making head-on runs, teaming up and chasing down one, and another comes in and goes behind them and firing on them. And it was unbelievable. But the whole night, I stayed up, watched the entire battle until I could no longer see the sky because of the light coming in.
You know, Ed, that on the one hand it's fascinating. It's a fascinating story. But on the other hand, It's not new, because this same thing was reported several hundred years ago in Nuremberg, Germany. It was in the newspaper.
1561.
What year?
1561.
1561. Their version of a newspaper. It was printed up there, and they did a woodcut print of illustration of what they had seen, and it was battles in the sky, just like what you just described. So, I mean, this has been seen before by other people.
I pointed out and given information that Alexander the Great saw those battles above his battlefields.
Uh-huh.
And he was way before 1561.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 years later, I'm 16 years old, and I see it, and it's unbelievable, and I knew it was out there. And so I later bought some night vision goggles to see if I could find them. And they were a piece of crap. They weren't any good. You couldn't tell if it was a dog or cat in the backyard.
Yeah.
And then later, I was doing good with my business, and I went to a gun show, and I came on my way back home with a pair of $3,900 pair of goggles. And I stopped in the Sierras on the Donner Summit, put the batteries in, stepped out of the car, and looked, and within just a few minutes, here come two chasing, and they were down lower, and one chasing another. And the one broke up and started heading for the sky. It almost looked like the reindeer going up. And they were heading up, and then he peeled off one way, and the other one, next thing you know, is they're way up there, probably 150 miles up. And they're still chasing. One's firing back, one's firing forward. And after four or five exchanges zigzagging, the one in the front blew up. And, oh my God, they're still at it, you know. And so when you tell people back then, it's like, yeah, this guy's really weird. Let's walk away quietly. But when you show them, they're too shooken to walk.
You've actually had some really big-name celebrities.
What now?
You have had some big-name celebrities come to Sky Watches. And I won't name the names, but you've shared some of those names with me. Some of them are big-name rock stars that are kind of my rock stars, you know. I mean, I really like their music.
Well, there was some show going, and they asked me to come that they wanted to see a Sky Watch. And she's on television all the time now, and America's Got Talent, other shows, and that's, Sharon Osbourne?
Uh-huh.
And husband, Ozzy Osbourne, and their son, Jack.
Uh-huh.
And so they were putting things together, and I took them out, and the cameras were rolling and that, and she got to see one blow another one up, and she...
Was she impressed?
Huh?
Was she impressed?
Yes. She just like, oh my God, it's real. And that one just flew in and blasted the other one. And her son says, Mom, I saw it. I saw it. I just saw the end of it. This is so crazy.
And what about Ozzy? Did he see one?
No, he was standing there. He just lowered his goggles. And he was looking over at me, and he just kind of gave me a nod, like, yeah, yeah, they're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the filming part of it, the show took a dump, and the first show they had on TV, they were squirting people with a fire hose and foam and doing other things now. And I guess they never made the second show, and that was the one that they would have had footages on.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they'll do it later, you know.
It'll be cool if they do. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria.
Hello, Haya.
Hi,
how you doing?
Hi. I just came in and I heard that Ed's on, and I wanted to know if Ed has been up to the ranch. He said he ranched it all.
To the Gilliland Ranch?
Yes, I've been up there a number of times, and I've had a lot of UFO, you know, sightings. And I've also, James has a Generation 3 night vision. And I've been actually watching, and I've watched jets chase these things, and they kind of blink out, and the minute the jets go by, they blink back on.
Yeah.
And Yes?
They cloak. It's so that you can't be seeing them on radar or anything. They move split second to a different time zone, and you're going to fly right by, or they look like they've stopped, but they disappear, and then they appear and start out again. Yeah, do you have a pair of goggles now?
I find some here, too. We have it over here in Victoria. I purchased myself, kind of a cheap pair of a Russian night vision, and they actually turned out quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
They have a white screen, but when they focus on the object, it actually is quite clear. Have you ever tried those?
Yeah, I've actually worked with some Russian companies and companies here in the States, and some of their technology is pretty good, but some of their older technology is very bad. And I can get Russian equipment for people, and there's certain ones that I'll get and certain ones that I won't get for them because some work and some don't. And I distribute it now and try to pay for my research selling goggles. And I get people goggles all over the world. And I can't ship goggles to some countries. I can't ship some technology to countries, but I can ship.
How about Canada? Do you have any problems with Canada?
Only in the Olympics, but what it is that Canada is a foreign country. And there's a technology laws about certain generation night vision goggles that you cannot sell them to foreign countries or foreigners because of the technology and military secrets and that type of thing. But there are companies that make parts that will ship them to us from France, and other pieces that will be high quality tubes that are not American made, and you can use certain tubes from areas to look up. And then when I want to use it at Skywatch, I take the pair of goggles apart and I do a little process to the tube, and it makes it a little better than it used to be. And
we have a lot of inventors here. We have a lot of interesting people living in Victoria, too.
Well, if you have me,
but we don't have
goggles.
A lot of light pollution, but how would you say an equivalent to a Generation 3, how do you think it would fare with the light pollution in Victoria itself? Or if you've been here before?
Oh, these things do very good. I've sent Paris to several places in Australia, to Amsterdam, to Switzerland, to England. I've been putting different goggles out in different places so that they're all happy and all legal. And I have people right now all over the world that I get phone calls from, and they tell me, oh, my God, Ed, I saw this, I saw that, whatever, and I'm getting the camera hooked up now. I should have took your advice. I could have filmed this thing. And it was making all these square turns, and it chased towards another one, and this and that, and it's like, I go, are you kidding? Are you sure you're not seeing bugs and bats? Because that's what I get, you know. So they laugh, and there it is, you know. It's for real.
Oh, I know it's real. I totally agree with you, Ed. I've seen them when I lived in Australia. I've seen them in the Middle East. I've seen them here outside of Victoria, through the Gulf Islands here. I've seen them up further north, you know, of British Columbia, right up north. They've seen them there. But they all seem to be different. They're not all, like, they're not all triangles. The ones I've basically seen are spherical, multicolored. They throw a certain type of energy at you. It's quite incredible, and it's through layers of yourself. Like, you'll get it physically, emotionally, psychologically, and you feel the energy go through.
If they're far enough.
Do you have that experience yourself?
Do I have any what?
Have you had that type of experience yourself?
You name it, and I've practically had it. I spend 3-4 nights, sometimes 5 nights a week, out with friends or other people looking up, and the things that I have seen is unbelievable. And the reason why you're seeing some things up north in multiple colors, it may be because the light they're getting reflected onto them is called Aurora Borealis.
Oh, yes. Well, there's also these... how about the Australia Borealis, too?
Well, there's just so much things that can change colors. And I have seen craft stop above us probably 200 miles within that range, very big across, and sit there and change colors almost like it was putting on a show for us. And we
I've seen that too as well, Ed, and I've also seen them just 150 feet above my head. They're smaller, but they're very spherical, and they have a tendency to look translucent, but
they
have,
like,
they're full of energy.
They look like almost a drop of mercury. They look like a little drop of mercury almost, but they're the size of a Volkswagen. And they,
yeah.
Yeah, and they can dodge
They're very
around.
Colorful as well.
Yeah. They can change colors, do all kinds of things. I've seen them a number of times over fields, crop fields.
And
they'll come from 2-3 miles up and be diving down at the ground and wiggling, like changing positions with each other, like as if you could picture bumblebees in a swarm, and they're zigzagging here and there, and then come almost like they're just going to slam into the ground and then go scooting along the ground, changing positions with each other over top the ground, almost like they were a group of puppies running and chasing.
Now, Ed, what's your thought about this? Do you think they're different? That they're from different places? Different types are from different places, or do you think some are benign, but others are maybe not so benign? Or, you know.
Okay, tell you what, man. Thanks for the call. We got a run of breaks taking over. Ed, hold that thought, and we'll get your answer when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this.
Kevin Smith Show, and my IQ jumped 20 points.
We are back. My guest is Ed Grimsley. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Some of you across the country have the courage, the guts, the steel spine to pick up a phone and call. We're waiting to hear from you. 623-444-5889. And if you are elsewhere around the world, not in the United States, not in Canada, you can call that number, or you can do something else. You can send me a flash message. Ed, we had a question on the table there from Haya. She wanted to know if you think these UFOs that you see through night vision goggles are all, like, from different places, I guess, around the galaxy or around the universe. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they're from all over the galaxy. There's life of various forms all over the galaxies. and man is out there, and we're secretly traveling in and out to Mars and other places far out. We're going out, we're doing battles, and some of the things are probably like an energy form or a life form like that, like a cells or plasmas or whatever, and other things are more intelligent and travel with craft. And I believe that there are things that travel like a bird would fly or other, and I believe that they
have. I don't understand that. What do you mean they travel like a bird would fly? You mean they flap wings?
Yeah, they, well, not especially with wings, but they can travel and fly like as if they were a bird. But yet they're smaller, and they're an orb, and they can move about. And I think that they have the ability to go in and out of space at ease. And we've seen a lot of things happen like that. And it's a good possibility that some of these things are time travelers. And we know that the American secret government can time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that for sure.
How do you know that for sure, Ed?
Well, let me put it this way. When they do the Philadelphia experiment and they don't have enough energy and tubes set up right from the Tesla run, and they leave some of our Navy personnel stuck in the deck and wedged in thing, and some of the parts came back in the wrong place, and they try to make it look like it was a movie that wasn't true, but it was true. And I knew one girl, her father had to have parts of his body removed to get him out of the deck, and he lived for quite a while. And when she told me about his experiences and what he goes through and how they had to do surgery and rehook his kidney up, in a different position back to where they would have been, and all the hell he went through, and our wonderful secret government lies about it all the way, what, you know, what choice do you have but to believe it? And that was back a long time ago, and if they had that happen to that extent, they didn't stop. They kept going. They kept trying. They changed things. And Andrew
Bisaggio,
he and I sat and talked one-on-one. We've talked at tables up at Gilliland's Ranch.
Uh-huh.
And the things that I asked him and talked to him about, and that.
Okay, so it's been confirmed to you, and you don't have a doubt about it.
It's real.
Yeah. Okay, to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Barrett from West Virginia.
Hello, Barrett.
Hey, I'm calling in response to Ed saying that he witnessed the Mothman, because actually I'm about 45 minutes away from the from Point Pleasant, which is originally where it was spotted.
Uh-huh.
And I was just wanting to know what state that was in that he witnessed that.
Oh, California, in the Napa California. Valley. Napa Valley, California.
Barrett, did you know that there are reports of Mothman sightings also in far west Texas?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that it's pretty much all around the world, isn't it?
I think so. Have you tried looking for Mothman with night vision goggles?
No, I haven't. But after Ed is on the show and everything, I was like, well, maybe I should try it out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, with night vision goggles, you're not going to see anything that isn't there already. But there are things at nighttime that you cannot see clearly But if you use night vision goggles at nighttime, you can see those things clearly. It just brightens it up as if it were daytime, and then you can see what's there. But, you know, there are a lot of daytime sightings of Mothman around the world. And I think the ones at Point Pleasant were daytime sightings mostly, weren't they?
Yeah, there were a few. I guess the main ones that, like, a lot of the stories come from are at nighttime.
At nighttime, okay. Well, you know, the only thing night vision goggles do, they're not magic, okay? They simply illuminate. They simply, well, they don't actually illuminate. They use the light that's out there and magnify that light so that you can see what it is that's out there. And, folks, I want to say again, a bird still looks like a bird, okay? A bug still looks like a bug. And when you see a bug or a bird, you know that's what it is. And when you see a UFO and you say, well, it might be a bird, that's just dumb.
Yeah. yeah, I was also going to ask Ed, how much would that cost?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been looking for a cheap pair to hook up and use for sky watches and help people get. And there's some cheaper pairs that are along the line of $1,800 and the tubes and that, and they can perform fair. But the average ones that are better will come in more like $2,500 with three power magnification or a five. And then I got my own brand that's now the EG7s or the EG8s, either one you want. And they have Russian technology and American companies assemble and put together and work with me so that they can be shipped overseas. And they're real good. They're every bit as good as the PVS-7s that our military uses. And in fact, they cost me about $200 more because of all the outside commitment and shipping and everything. But there's times when I get a good deal on some tubes, and I can find a pair of glasses put together for you that are similar to the military, and I can do that for sometimes 27 to 29. Other times when we buy a group of tubes and housings, it might cost us, you might be paying a price of $3,200. But you know, be careful. There's so many combinations of tubes that will go into a housing, and you just don't know what you're going to get. And you never want to buy. Somebody says, I have a pair of goggles. I got out of the military, and I want $1,900. And it's not, because if it's a military number on it, and you get stopped or checked and you're in charge of some military stolen property, you will not be a happy camper for a long time. And you never know what they've been through, light burns or flashes or gunfire can affect these goggles. And if you get, like we put them together, we look at special, like through 100 tubes, and we'll find three or four tubes that make us happy, and we put it together as a Skywatch model. And so, and I try to give people a deal. In fact, I usually give them a better tube, and usually $200-$300 cheaper.
Okay, so you're looking at anywhere from $1,800 to $3,200, right?
Right. Depends on what you get. But I can put some awesome equipment out to you. There's one model that I can get out to you for like $2,500. And there's goggles that are good quality that are sold in Europe. And I can put that same quality to them for 25, 2900, and it cost them in Europe equal to like $5,000. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you do it, but those people, you can't call them up and ask what you saw. You can't get instructions on how to look for the stuff, how to focus your eyes and all that. And I do that for people. And I give them a little lesson over the phone and turn them loose with permission to call me back. And people think that's totally amazing. I've got people all over the world now, and they're calling me constantly, telling me what they've seen and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they got questions.
Well, there you go, Barrett. You know, if you decide you're going to do either a Mothman watch or a Sky watch, and maybe doing a Sky watch might see Mothman, if you want to do that, you can now get really high grade stuff at less than you would normally pay for it if you go through Ed. You have another question or comment, Barrett?
I was just wondering, does he have a website? Ed have a website?
It's edgrimsley.com.
Okay, and that's do you sell the goggles on your website?
Well, this stuff changing around, and I'm getting people to help me make up the websites and stuff. But just call me on the phone, and I'll try to find something that'll work with your budget.
Ed, is your telephone number on your website?
It is.
Okay.
It's also 707-478-2540. And the whole world has it now, and just call me respectably, and I'll talk to you.
Okay, all right, thank you, and thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
If you go Mothman looking, I suggest you be prepared. As my two experiences told me that it was good to be prepared. And I don't know if you disappear in the woods looking for moths, but I think it's better to give him a method of leaving quickly.
All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you wish to talk with Ed Grimsley, this is a great opportunity for you to do it. We are about to step away for a break. When we come back, we're going to be on Final Approach. And ladies and gentlemen, that means if you hesitate, you'll miss it. We'll be back right after this.
British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Ed Grimsley. If you call right now, we have time for your call, and if you hesitate, you will be too late. We have a flash message here, Ed, from Larry in, I guess it's Larry, L-A-R-I, in South Africa. Ed, do you do sky watches in other countries, and have you heard of any night vision sightings in South Africa?
Yeah, I'll do them in other countries. I have to have enough goggles that I can take out of the country. And I have to also have enough people to cover the cost of going there. I have been to Amsterdam. I've been to England. I've been to Iceland. And all these problems of different countries that I've checked them out and seen them, and I've went to volcanoes to look for craft in Iceland.
Yeah, but have you heard of any night vision sightings of UFOs in South Africa?
Yes. Some of my team went over to do some work for finding the large, the giants and the burial grounds and that.
Uh-huh.
And they saw craft over there. Yeah, they didn't see a lot. They didn't put on a thing. They only had a small unit that was not up to grade what it should have been. But I have had people talk to me from Johannesburg on the phone before.
Well, the people that talked with you from Johannesburg, did they have night vision goggles already? Were they, and they were using them?
They're saving up and want to get them because they have seen craft and a lot of things with the naked eye, and they know they can see much more with it. And they had talked to me about, could I come over? And I told them if I had a few pair of goggles, some people, and some round-trip tickets, that I would be stretching my wings out and be on my way.
Mm-hmm. So really all that has to happen, if someone in another country wants you to come do a night vision Skywatch, really all they've got to do is just pay your expenses to get there, right? And put you up while you're there, and you'll come do the night vision Skywatch.
Our project is to do it. Now, just last year I was in San Juan, Puerto Rico, did two shows there. I was in Texas, Florida, Wisconsin, Arizona, Canada, England, Amsterdam, and Iceland, and other states, a lot of other states. So I, they want me to go to a South American company, a country that I would love to go to, but the country says I can't bring my goggles there.
Uh-huh.
It'll be confiscated.
So it really, then it depends on not, I mean, they do, they need to provide, you know, your expenses to get there, but it also depends on whatever their laws are in that country as to whether you can bring the goggles in, right?
Well, that has a lot to do with, but most of the countries will let you bring them as long as you don't try to market them there.
Uh-huh.
Or if they do, they know who you are and that you're not trying to overthrow the government at night. And basically some countries are pretty sensible, some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And you just gotta, like, what country is it and where can we go? I have also been to Sweden, Denmark, and Germany, but I only had two pair of goggles with me at the time.
Uh-huh.
And just groups of people here and there would gather and look, and there was quite a bit of activity. And I mean, my God, if you had 10 or 15 pair in some of these places, like they'd be popping.
Do some of the countries limit you as to the number of goggles you can bring in? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're just the type or that, and our country does most of the limiting.
Okay. Yeah, I understand you cannot take the military type goggles out of our country, the ones that are built here.
Right, or even goggles here that have above a certain viewing power, you can't. But let's say you can take a Gen 2 that's made in another country or not produced with military technology, and you can take it, and they could stop you, and you'd have to show them papers showing that it's a certain rating and that it's okay. But once you go to another country, a lot of times they don't care about the American law because that's their country, not the Americans. But if you try to come home and bring your goggles back, you could be in trouble. Or if you sold a pair of military-type goggles overseas, you could be in big-time trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Spend a lot of time visiting foreign jails or American jails.
Yeah, you get the tour of the non-tourist facilities.
Yeah.
Well, Ed, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for being with us again tonight.
Before we run out.
Yeah.
This weekend, Awaken Aware Conference in Irvine, California, the Hilton Hotel. Lots of big-time guests coming in and doing it, and hosts. Richard Hoagland, Richard Dolan, Maxwell. Just a heap of them. And I'll be there walking around, and if you come down, you can meet me and shake hands or talk or throw rotten eggs at me, whatever. But look it up. It's going to be great.
All right, Awaken Aware Conference in Irvine, California this coming weekend. Ed, stay on the line with me for a moment, if you will, while I bring the Starship in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Grimsley. Always fascinating, right? It's time for me to say that's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steagle Eye. My enemies do too. Now, you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.